All right, this Friday, I believe. Let me double check. Let me look at the calendar. Tuesday is 3, Wednesday is 4, Thursday is 5. Friday, this Friday on December 6th, great Nashville legend, singer songwriter, rock and roller, Americana man, Renaissance man, Webb Wilder will be at Chickiwawa this Friday. And I got to speak with Webb at length a couple of weeks ago about his upcoming show and other things. So right now, let's hear from Webb Wilder himself. We are WWOZ 90.7 FM New Orleans.
Well, appreciate you joining me today. You're coming to town on Friday, December 6th, to play at Chickiwawa.
Yeah.
And, that is certainly one of the great listening rooms in New Orleans. You've been through there before, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I played, I've never played with a band there, and I like playing solo there so much. I probably just keep that up as long as they'll let me. And I played there a few times with my bass player as a duo back when Dale had it. We loved Dale, you know, but he passed away. And when that happens, you never know if there goes your gig for life, right? But no, the new owners, I've worked once for them, and they've been fantastic. And this will be my second time. There goes your gig for life, right? But no, the new owners, I've worked once for them, and they've been fantastic. And this will be my second time back since they've taken it over. And I love it. Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, as someone who's, you know, been on the road as a songwriter and a recording artist for as long as you have, and you've seen so many contours in the business and what the opportunities are for people doing song-based roots music, however if you want to call it outlaw country or Americana or whatever sure. else. In terms of the landscape, how important is it for you to have these kind of rooms on the road where you can go and know that you have a reliable gig and a real listening audience?
Oh, it's precious. It's invaluable. And, you know, there are a handful of places that I can and do return to on a regular basis because, like you say, the earth is always moving under your feet. And there are places that you can go to, but they're so far away and the money is going to be so low. You have to, you know, you'd have to be independently wealthy to make it work. And so, yeah, they're precious.
I'm going to love you, honey, but my loving you won't accept. Come on, baby, sit down beside me. Don't get so upset. Don't be afraid. You can tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. Don't you worry. Take your time. You can tell me what's wrong. Honey, you're my only lover, and I want to spend my life with you. Come on, baby, sit down beside me. We can talk the whole thing through. Don't be afraid. You can tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. Well, don't you worry. Take your time. Tell me what's wrong. Gonna do everything that your heart desires. Come on, baby, sit down beside me. Let me wash away your fears. Don't be afraid. You can tell me what's wrong. You can't tell me what's wrong. Well, don't you worry. Take your time. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. Come on, baby. Tell me what's wrong. I done I was wrong. Don't you worry, take your time, tell me what's wrong.
When you really started to decide who you wanted to be artistically and how you wanted to express yourself and create, you know, a situation for stuff that was lyrically a little deeper than, you know, ABC pop stuff. You know, was there a process to that?
Yeah. And it was, some of it was, you know, conscious and deliberate, and some of it was just trial and error and evolving. You know, I've often said that, in many ways your limitations are your strengths. You know, like if Willie Nelson could have sung like, Engelbert Humperdinck, he wouldn't be Willie Nelson. You know what I mean? And vice versa. So I think that artists who have their own style or their own way of even interpreting other people's material stand out and are distinctive. And when they're lucky, the public picks up on it, you know. But yeah, like Neil Young, you know, he was never going to sound like Paul Rogers, right? But I mean, a pretty successful guy. So my deal was, you know, I have a lower voice and I grew up here in all this great British rock and all those guys are tenors, you know, but I learned a lot listening to them about phrasing and soul and intensity and all that. And then of course I listened to Johnny Cash, and I think Johnny Cash's awkward, less than sometimes melodic, and Mick Jagger's singing, which it can be that way too, both gave me some confidence, you know, and I'm a fan of both of them because I never could sing really pretty, you know, like the Everly Brothers or somebody. And I never could play guitar like Jeff Beck or Jimmy Page or somebody either. So I had to adapt all those things. And along the way, I think, you know, I kind of came up sounding like me. And I think I have roots and I'm proud of them. And my favorite artists have roots and then go somewhere their own with them. And that, I mean, think about Hendrix. He couldn't have been more far out, but he had deep roots. I mean, it was all underpinned by the blues.
He sure.
All right. Listening to an interview I did a week or two ago with the great Webb Wilder, who's going to be here at Chickiwawa this Friday, December 6th, talking about all kinds of interesting stuff. And since he mentioned Johnny Cash, I dug this one up, covering a tune that Johnny Cash famously did. Here he is with Fred Morin, and let's see, Fred Molin and others. So here it is right here on WWOZ 90.7 FM New Orleans, where we're overlooking the mighty Mississippi on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving, getting ready for all the upcoming holidays, including and especially Mardi Gras. So as we round the corner, and I can almost tell you that it's 2:30 in the p.m. here at WWOZ 90.7 FM, here we have it, Webb Wilder doing some Johnny Cash.
It sure has been fun traveling this old road. Hey, where are we going to go on our next trip, buddy?
Everywhere, Mater. Everywhere.
I was toting my pack along the long, dusty Winnemucca Road. When along came a semi with a high canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. Breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, Lapa-Loma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Vanilla, what a thrill. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston,
Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tolliverson, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Hennessy, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, for Pete's sake.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts, bare man. Breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Nashville, Knoxville, Lumberback, Shepherdsville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Richfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, see what I mean.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
To Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellenburg, Rickburg, Pittsburgh, Eldorado, Larimore, Attamore, Abbotstock, Chattanooga, Shasta, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the desert, bare man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere. I'm rolling, rolling, rolling. Roll like a big wheel in Georgia cotton field. I'm a big dog, I'm a road hog. I'm rolling on, moving on. I'm moving on. Coast to coast, nationwide. Yeah. Far and wide.
you know, what was the difference in thinking coming out of, you know, college town in Mississippi and having a family that was in the music business out of Jackson, and that mentality to going up to the brass ring culture of Nashville and really trying to, you know, to make it in the make it scene?
Well, that's really a good question. And there are a lot of things that led into my decision, you know, to come to Nashville. And, you know, Steve Forbert is from Mississippi. He and I are the same age. He's a friend of mine and a great artist, you know, and a legendary dude and all that stuff. And he and I were born and raised within 80 miles of each other. I never knew him when we were growing up, but he lived here for a long time and I got to know him here. And, you know, he had the balls to go to New York, right? But growing up in the deep South, which has a lot of pluses and minuses, you know, that was intimidating to me. So I would have probably never gone to LA or New York. And
all right, fair enough. And now to reel it up to present day, and let's talk specifically about the show coming up at Chickiwawa. You know, first of all, just, you know, coming through New Orleans with its completely unique vibe.
And, yeah.
You know, and it's unique musical cultures that are indigenous, but also, I mean, people don't realize what a broad,
right,
ear this town has for all kinds of music, but understanding it through its own filter. Yeah, what's your experience like coming to New Orleans as an artist over the years and doing what you do in this town and feeling the vibe in this context?
Well, I dig it, and I was just there. I have a long history with the city as an artist and not as an artist. You know, my dad came from a big family and a broken home, and so he was born, as were his siblings, out in the country outside of Meridian, Mississippi, where Steve Forbert is from. And then at an early age, they moved to New Orleans. And so I was born and raised in Hattiesburg. But at the time, you know, my father had two sisters in New Orleans, and, you know, it's 100 miles away. So we would, yeah. I was lucky to get to experience New Orleans. I meet people who've never been to New Orleans, and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, a lot as a kid. And then later I was in a good band in Hattiesburg called the Drapes. And some people in New Orleans remember us, and we would play Tipitina's. We would play Gino's Pizza out by the University of New Orleans. We would play the Dream Palace with Little Queenie and the Percolators and, you know, different bands. And we would share some bills with the Radiators and, you know, all that stuff. And so then later, of course, you know, when my band had records and stuff, we played, I don't remember where we really played. We opened for Jerry Lee Lewis at Tipitina's one time. And we did that. It was like a four set night. We played, he played, we played, he played. And that was unbelievable.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love it. And so, but in recent years, I've been going there as a solo act and playing at Chicky, and I love it. And my cousin lives there, and she's, of course, Lillian's, my aunt's daughter. And Lillian is the lady she's not my grandmother. She was my aunt that you mentioned, okay, that had trumpet records and all that.
And let me ask you about that, because, you know, talking about your aunt, it was Lillian McMurray, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, she's a white woman in Jackson, Mississippi, who just gets the bug for black music one day by accident. And
it's amazing.
And decides to start a little independent label in 1949-50 at the very dawn of rock and roll. And yeah, in this great post-war moment. And, you know, obviously she took some heat for it. And,
yeah,
you know, but what were the things that, you know, you learned either directly from her or from the music she helped, you know, put into the world, including Elmore James' first recordings and,
oh yeah,
Sonny Boy Williamson and all these, you know, really iconic blues artists?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting how people are, you know, like my dad was not musical. My mother was not musical. I had no siblings. I'm an only child. And we were in Hattiesburg, and Lillian and my Uncle Willard, you know, were in Jackson. And see, that whole deal, that label of hers, which really did some iconic stuff, but they got a dirty deal from their distributors who wouldn't pay them. Back then, you know, there's no streaming, everything, there's no virtual, yeah, it's all physical. And they would pay for the recording sessions and the artists and the recording equipment and the paperwork and the time spent and all that, and then pay to have the records physically pressed, manufactured, and then pay for the shipping to ship them out, and then the distributors wouldn't pay them. And that they had to go belly up, and my cousin just said, you know, they were too proud to take bankruptcy, so they just worked harder. So they tended to the long-running royalty-based everything until they sold all of the intellectual property off, but they stopped operations as a record label probably before I was born, and I was born in 54. And so my Uncle Willard was in the furniture business the whole time, so I didn't know about all this music stuff till I'd already started playing music. And, you know, my parents...
What was that like for a revelation for you? Because you were
was amazing because, you know, I sort of thought like, okay, the Beatles happened when I was in the fourth grade and really changed the world. And, you know, and you sort of think, well, it all came from England. And then you find out, no, it didn't. And it really blew my mind, you know, when I'm a Who fan. I was born on Pete Townsend's birthday, as it turns out. And prefer high watts to Marshalls and all these Pete Townsend type things.
But
it turns out, you know, the one cover on the Tommy album is Eyesight to the Blind. And as she cut the original version on Sonny Boy, and it was his first single. Come on.
Man, that you could see mine. You talking about your woman. I wish to God that you could see mine. Every time the little girl starts to love me, she bring eyesight to the blind. Thought her daddy must have been a millionaire, cause I can tell by the way she walks. I can tell by the way she walks. Every time she starts to loving, the deep and dumb begin to talk. I remember one Friday morning, we were lying down across the bed. Maybe the next room was dying, stopped down and held up his head and said, Lord, ain't she pretty? And the whole state knows she's mine. Every time she starts to love him, she bring eyesight to the blind. All right now. Lean on me. Declare she pretty, and the whole state knows she fine. Man, I declare she pretty. God knows I declare she fine. Every time she starts to love, she bring eyesight to the blind. We gotta get out of here now.
Sister gonna put up. gumbo heaven.
Late and great Lee Harris, Little Queenie and the Percolators with Gumbo Heaven. Played that because Webb Wilder, who we've heard through all these interviews, who's going to be at Chickiwawa on Friday, was talking about doing gigs with Little Queenie and the Percolators back in the old days at Tipitina's. So there are the original Percolators with Gumbo Heaven. And years ago, in my early days on OZ, about 20 years ago, I played that track by Marilyn Barberan, Reborn, and Lee Harris called me up and she said, "Oh my God, I almost crashed my car. What is that?" And I told her what the song was. And I had yet to meet Marilyn Barberan. And she said, we've got to do that. I'm making a record. Will you come record with me? We've got to do that song. So I wound up working on Queenie's last record, and we did do a cover of that. I don't think it was ever released. So there you have it, Marilyn and Queenie back to back. Before that, Sonny Boy Williamson and the original 1951 recording of Eyesight to the Blind on Trumpet Records, which was owned by Webb Wilder's aunt up in Jackson, Mississippi, as you could hear through all those interviews. All great stuff. And going back to the Trumpet Records story and Webb Wilder's aunt and some of her early forays into the music business as a woman who just heard black music somewhere, someday, as a woman who had not been exposed to it and decided to start a whole company in Mississippi in the late 40s, early 1950s, and record all this great music that was around her. So here it is, the very first recording by Elmore James on her Trumpet label in 1951, Dust My Broom.
In my first teen band or a little later, and it didn't hit me all at once. I had to sort of drag the information out and really get the big picture. And one thing that would help anyone get acquainted with the trumpet story is there's a book by a guy named Mark Ryan called Diamonds on Farish Street. And okay, Farish Street is in F-A-R-I-S-H is in Jackson. There's a historic marker there where her she had a record store, too. You know, she had a mail order record business that rivaled, from what I've been told, Randy's Records in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that was
Webb Wilder talking about his aunt Lillian McMurray, founder and owner of Trumpet Records.
Yeah. And I mean, I think she recorded there and in some radio stations, and maybe she put together a studio. But she told me more than once that they cut artists before tape. You know, if you study Les Paul, you find out that, you know, Bing Crosby brought some tape recorders back from Germany after the war or something and gave them to Les. The whole thing of recording with tape was not a pre-war thing. And so they cut direct to disc with a coal needle.
Wow. And that, which at that point was already somewhat, you know, obsolete, because you're talking about the early 50s at this point.
Yeah, right? And it's Mississippi and all that, yeah, you know, and it's the yeah. poorest state in the Union and all that. So, yeah. All right, y'all, now we're
going to do that thing. Come on, 3 p.m., and you're listening to WWOZ 90.7 FM, New Orleans, and our exclusive interview with Webb Wilder, who's going to be at Chickiwawa this Friday. All right, and right now, some music from Webb Wilder, since we've been hearing from him and talking about him. He'll be at Chickiwawa this Friday.
Well, I had a little bit of a radio experience many years ago, just to have a job, you know, and I was I was an AM country DJ during the disco country era, which was awful. And it was an AM station in Hattiesburg. I had just moved back from Austin. It was culture shock, you know. I watched the album as art form become God, so to speak. You know, you had, you know, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was such a big deal, you know, and the album as art form, the band by the band, which is still one of the greatest albums of all time. And so those albums and the albums I loved and grew up on, they'd have a rockin' song, then they'd have a ballad, then they'd have something acoustic, something black, something country, all this. But by the time I started making records, particularly when I went to the majors, that concept had gone away. They wanted you to do one thing and they wanted to market it, you know, and I've never done that. So to me, the mark of a good album is just what I said, some variety in it, you know. I mean, the Beatles did Yesterday and they did Long Tall Sally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always thought that was the challenge, you know. And so the album that I'm making now, which I'm very excited about, which will hopefully be out next year, it's going to be beyond my control pretty soon. It's my job to make the music. I don't put it out, but
you're lucky to be able to say that in this day and age.
Oh, I know. And but it has one kind of artsy ballady song, and the rest of it is pretty good time rocking, acoustic and electric, and focusing the eclecticism. You know, I'm aware that I needed to do that over the years, because you can lead your public up one mountain and it's hard to get them down that one and up the other one sometime if you confuse them, you know.
You're playing the solo show on December 6th, Friday, December 6th at Chicky Wawa. And you know what, since you're working on this new album, is some of that material going to leak into the set?
Well, maybe not leaked into any of the live performances really yet, but that might be a good place to start it.
All right, and that wraps up excerpts of an interview that I did with Webb Wilder a week or two ago. He'll be at Chicky Wawa this Friday night. I want to thank our man himself, Bob Rod, Old Man River, for putting that together. And right now, back to the birthday girl, Marilyn Barbarant.